Hello and welcome back to the Chochmat Nashim podcast. I'm Ann Gordon, here today with
Shoshana Keith-Jaskel.
I'm a little under the weather, so you may hear that in my voice, but we have important things to discuss. And our This Happened This Week is about the same important things that we're going to discuss in the course of the rest of the podcast, because what we want to talk about happened over the past couple of weeks. It actually began a long time ago. Let me start at the beginning. The beginning is the problem of the erasure of women. We talk about this all the time. Several years ago, the solution was raised, or a potential for solution was raised. There are many different aspects to the problem of the erasure of women, so no one thing is going to solve it. What if there would be a photo bank of women, from women, people looking like religious women, doing regular things, that they could be in the pictures so that the people who don't want to include women in scantily clad outfits for whatever, you know, religious reasons, would be still able to find pictures of women that they could use in their brochures, in their publications, in their newspapers, in their magazines. This idea was brought to Chochmat Nashim some years ago. We liked the idea a lot. We had great ideas about how to get it off the ground. And then, with one thing and another, we didn't get it off the ground at that time. I hate to say this, or I'm very glad to say this, many, many wonderful ideas are brought to our attention with some frequency, and we can't get them all off the ground at the same time. This idea was one whose time had not yet come, in part because it got interrupted. All ideas got interrupted by the pandemic, and everything kind of had to go offline, or rather online, I should say, instead of being anything in person for all this time. And then it reawakened. The pandemic, we've gotten used to it. We know how to handle ourselves, I hope. And the idea of finding a way to have photos of from women available to anybody who wants to use them reared its head again. And Shoshana, I know you're going to talk about exactly what that means, but I am proud to say, to announce and to explain the existence now of the Jewish Life Photo Bank. It is a project of Chochmat Nashim. It is a photo bank of images of religious women in various different kinds of attire that religious women might wear, and doing all kinds of things that religious women might do, including men and children, families, basic Jewish, again, the Jewish Life Photo Bank. It's not called the Orthodox Women Photo Bank for a lot of good reasons. And this past week, or 2 weeks ago, depending on when you're listening to this, of course, we launched. The Jewish Life Photo Bank is live. You can subscribe. You can use the images in this photo bank in your publications. So that's what we're excited about to talk about. The reason we think that it's something more than just an announcement is that it's not as simple. Nothing is ever quite as simple as you might think it would be. Get it off the ground. That sounds great. Images, Jewish from looking women, wonderful. And yet there is still some, do we even want to call it controversy? Maybe a little controversy behind the scenes. Shoshana, let's take it back to the beginning. Perhaps you can elaborate on, you know, this kind of introduction and give us a sense of really how it got off the ground, what is involved, and where we're going with it.
So as you said, Anne, it was brought up. We spoke about this around the table, I think a cafe in Jerusalem once or twice, talking about how we could possibly put together a photo bank of women and models and photographers and rights and terms of services and legal things. And I just remember being like, this is just too much. This is just, well, I don't know. I don't even know what. And then obviously, as you said, things got shuffled and pandemics and things. And then this past June, I actually started to say, okay, you know, Corona's kind of, thank God, poo, kanainahara, calming down. What are some of those projects that we didn't get to do? And I took out the list and I was like, photo bank. What was interesting about, as horrible as COVID and Corona was for us as a community, as a world, in some ways it actually helped Chochmat Nashim build our global membership community, because people were so much more online, as you said. We've always been online. And so we were always there for our community. They were there for us. And I said, I wonder if now we could do this as more of a volunteer aspect, meaning instead of having to hire photographers and hire models and things like that, I wonder if we could really base, you know, use our community for this kind of a thing. We put together this poster that said, 3 days of photographs, one amazing photo bank, come help us put women back in the picture. I was just like, let's throw it out there and see what sticks. And I'm really, really pleased and moved to be able to say that over 200 people volunteered within 48 hours to be
really
either
amazing.
Yeah, to either be a photographer, a model. Some people even volunteered their organizational skills, which I don't know how well you all know me, but that's a really big deal for me. If someone comes and says, let me help you with all this logistics. Thank you, thank you. We had people who were saying, whatever I can do, I'm in. And we're talking about people from the UK to Israel to Baltimore and all these other places. Fast forward a little bit, we actually had photo shoots in Jerusalem, two full days of photo shoots in Jerusalem, one in El Halev that gave us their incredible space that has everything from a gym to a library to a green screen to a stage. And we had women and also men. It was adorable. We actually had single guys and women who were married, but their husbands didn't come. We just threw them together as a family. It was fantastic. So the people that you see on the site.
That's exactly what a photo bank is. Meaning right. These are staged photos that depict real life in a way that, you know, if you're looking at stock photography, it's nearly always identifiable as stock photography and not as, you know, real home pictures from somebody's actual family. You know, everybody signed off. They signed their agreements.
Yes, absolutely. No, this was...
Nobody was tense that it was not an appropriate photo setup.
Just for transparency, I mean, we went to a lawyer first and I said, how do I protect the models? Because people were, and understandably, even before we started, I was like, I want to protect them. Like, I don't want someone to take these pictures and just randomly use them for, I don't know, anything, for missionizing or who knows what, you know? And while, yes, digital pictures are digital pictures, and anyone who puts up a photo on Facebook even is to some degree at risk of someone grabbing their picture, unfortunately. But I wanted to make sure that our models and photographers were protected. And so we had a lawyer draft terms of services that are very specific as to what these pictures can and cannot be used for. And all models and photographers signed release forms. But what was amazing was how they were just like, give me that form. I want to be part of this day. Like, I want to depict Jewish women and Jewish life in the way that we are. I want to be seen. I want people to know us. And by the way, this was also really when Unorthodox or My Unorthodox Life came out on Netflix. And people were like chalashing, if I can use that word, really chomping at the bit to try to find also a way to say, you know, while, yes, there are issues in the Orthodox community, we're also really happy and there's wonderful things about the Orthodox community. And My Unorthodox Life is certainly not the only depiction of Orthodox life. So there was a lot going on at the time where you said, Anne, like, you know, it wasn't the time then, but now was really kind of the time between the erasure on one end and the Netflix on the other. People were really looking to be represented and to help represent the Orthodox community. So in addition to the shoots in Jerusalem, there were shoots in New York, in Riverdale, in West Hempstead, in Baltimore. And by the way, we don't even have all our pictures up yet. Like, not only are there more pictures from photo shoots that have already happened, but we also have more photo shoots planned because we're seeking, A, we need to represent Hanukkah and all the other things that come around and winter, but also more types of Orthodox Jews, which may lead into some of your questions about what's been going on.
I think that was perhaps the first, you know, leveling of criticism from people who only had seen a preview of the photo bank, right? It is now live. I can tell you that I know of several Jewish papers, including the one that I am most happily affiliated with, namely the Times of Israel, right, where I'm gainfully employed full-time, has subscribed to the photo bank, but so has the Jewish Press, and so has, who else?
The UK Jewish Chronicle.
These are serious Jewish papers in the Orthodox world that are not just the Orthodox world, in the Jewish world, that do not shy from printing the images mm-hmm. of women and are glad to be able to have a greater range of representation of Orthodox life that includes women in Orthodox life very often. And I can say this as somebody who works at a newspaper, looking for images of people in the Orthodox world often is a matter of finding a picture of Hasidim walking down the street. And Hasidim walking down the street might be a very important picture if what you're talking about is Hasidim walking down the street or Hasidim in the public sphere. But it doesn't work if what you're talking about is, I don't know, some woman's experience in the Beit Din, for example, right? Meaning there are photos here and there. There have, you know, we do our best, but this is part of why it's an important resource. Now, what I was starting to say was, I recall one of the first complaints, constructive ideas, was that there be more Jews of color represented in the images mm-hmm. here. And I remember your response, Shoshana, being something along the lines of, you know, send them our way, right? Because I don't think anybody who has wanted to participate, has anybody been turned away?
Only when they refused to take a COVID test or show that they were vaccinated, like when we had the bigger shoots.
Yeah,
we
sure.
actually
but
turned
that,
people
but that's
away.
Not about because... the, that's not about the photographs. That's about that's about the participant not being able Correct. To meet the terms of the photo shoot. But that's exactly my point, meaning you can only take pictures of the people who come forward and want to participate. So that means that in order to have full representation of the Jewish community, let's say, of the Orthodox community, including Jews of color, Ashkenazim, Sephardim, redheads, blondes, different ages, all those different demographics need to show face, literally. So that, I think, is, on the one hand, it's a legitimate criticism. On the other hand, it's also a really easy solve, you know, if we can, in fact, recruit the right people to come and participate.
Obviously, there's a few levels to this. Most of the messages that I got were like, I love this project. I can't wait to see Jews of Color in it. You know, I love this project. Hopefully soon you'll have whatever. And my response is generally this. Thank you so much. In addition to the Yemenites, the Sephardim, the Asian Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, the single women, the children that we do have represented, we are currently looking for more volunteer models of all kinds of ethnicities and background to represent Orthodox women. Because it's true, first of all. Like, we have Asian Jews, we have Sephardi Jews, Yemenite Jews, and I'm not labeling people. Like, I just can't do it. Like, I don't want to be, oh, this is our Sephardi Jew, and this is our, it's just not who I am. And, you know, perhaps if there's a large enough demand to have a Sephardi category or a Jews of Color category, perhaps we'll get there. But people came and they gave their time. And I'm,
Shoshana, you don't need it as a category. I, as somebody who uses a photo bank, I will scroll through looking for the pictures that capture whatever it is that I need to represent. You don't need to make that a category. You show me people outside, people learning, people at a dinner table, right?
And then that's what I prefer, right? Obviously. Listen, there was a woman, a beautiful woman. She said, will you take my pictures? I said, if they're high quality and you have a release form from you and the photographer, 100%. That's all I need. As long as they're high quality, obviously you look Orthodox, and model and photographer have signed the release form, then absolutely. So she sent me these pictures and I was just blown away. They're her wedding day pictures. And she's glowing with happiness. I said, okay, great. You know, how do you want me to label these pictures? And she's like, Jerusalem, COVID wedding, bride davening, this and that. Now, she happens to be of Asian descent. So I asked her, how would you like to be labeled? She did not say Chinese Jew. She did not say Asian Jew. And so I wasn't going to do that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to label people. I do understand, Anne, that you might be doing a story on Asian Jews and you might dafka be looking for an Asian Jewish person. So there is that, like, you know, all of these things are things that I would like to just start how we started this whole thing. I am not a photographer. I don't make photo banks. Like, this is something that we've done because we wanted to fill a need. At the same time, what I would love if people do want to see certain things, instead of coming at us being like, where's this and where's that? How about, hey, can I help you get some models of such and such? Because the answer is 100% yes. All I need is models and a photographer and we can get it done. So, for example, someone did say this to us on Facebook and I said, please help. And she actually knows a Black woman who converted in Jerusalem, and we're going to photograph her this week. So on the one hand, like, I don't have everything that I want. On the other hand, I'm very happy to try and get it if everybody wants. This is a project by the community and for the community. So I'm very much open to you guys being like, hey, let me help you out here because I ain't doing this by myself.
So now let's talk about some of the controversy that has appeared about what is in the photo bank as opposed to what is not yet in the photo bank. We talked about this in advance of the photo release, and yeah. I know that there has been some mild brouhaha on social media about some of the pictures. Right now, when we talk about Orthodox, right, this is an Orthodox women's photo bank, and people can take issue with that, but kacha, that's what it is. But we all know that there are many, many different styles of dress in Orthodoxy, and style of dress is a lot of what this is, even though we will talk until the cows come home, and we have done so, and we will surely do so again, that style of dress is not what makes somebody a good Jew or an Orthodox Jew or whatever it is. But when you're talking about representation, there's no need for a Jewish life photo bank that shows everybody looking just like everybody in a non-Jewish iStock, Shutter, whatever, any of these other photo banks that are out there for people to choose images from. So we are talking in the stereotyping of Jewish attire. And we're talking about hair covering, sleeves, often skirts, maybe entirely skirts, I don't know. And some of them are about doing Jewish things, right? Like lighting Shabbos candles, which Orthodox people generally don't take pictures of lighting Shabbos candles because it doesn't work. You're already accepting Shabbos. It has to be staged. So tell us a little bit about what happened this week in the complaints that came in about what is in the photo bank and how it is, you know, not Orthodox at all for all the efforts to make it Orthodox.
You know, it's interesting, Anne. So I posted on LinkedIn this video that was made. Elisheva Hudson and Shoshana Palatnik came and volunteered their services and videoed the first photo shoot. And Elisheva made a beautiful documentary. Everyone should really see it. It's lovely, lovely. And I posted that on LinkedIn to thank everyone and to announce the photo bank and whatever. And I got a lot of heat from Orthodox Jews who I do not know, from mostly from America, who were like, how could you air our dirty laundry? Who do you think you are? You know, why would you put this on LinkedIn? And then the comments, of course, came with, and there's things that are not in line with Orthodox Judaism on this photo bank. So when she said that, of course, your mind and my mind went right to sleeves, pants. I'm like, I don't know what she's talking about exactly. Like, there are some images from sports in which some women do have shorter sleeves or leggings on. So that was where my mind went. But when I asked her, can you explain what's not halachic here? What are you talking about specifically? And she was like, there's a woman blowing a shofar, and there's a woman reading the Megillah, and there's a woman holding a Torah. That's not orthodoxy. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I did not expect that. I was like, okay.
But see, I did.
And we talked yes, that's about true. You did.
I didn't expect it about Megillah, because in my world, whether or not you're willing to read the Megillah, whether a woman is willing to read the Megillah, or whether she's willing to be at a Megillah reading that is read by a woman, is up for debate. But most people are either comfortable with it, at least for others to do it, even if they're not comfortable for themselves personally to do it. I would say, when we talk about women and dancing with the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah, for example, and we've talked about that on the podcast, right? So again, there are plenty of people who are not comfortable with it, and they don't want it in their community, and they don't like it. And yet, in our world of wherever we are in this spectrum of modern orthodoxy that takes halacha seriously, it is within the spectrum of what people do, even when people say it's not for me. Even if people say, meaning some people say it is very much for them and some people say it's not for them, but it's certainly on their radar as something that orthodox women
do. They wouldn't say you're not orthodox if you do that.
Right. The picture of the woman blowing the shofar is the one that gave me pause, not because I think a woman can't blow shofar, because we know the halacha, we know the gemaras about how women took it upon themselves to be part and parcel of the mitzvah of shofar. But it's a little bit further removed from my circles. And to some extent, we are limited by what we know, right? As much as we want to be exposed to everything there is out there. So I would say that some of your complainants here were also perhaps limited by what they know. And the idea that this is not orthodox raises important questions that I want to discuss in one moment about the photo bank. But we should acknowledge that it is very much within the realm of orthodoxy that, you know, certainly a woman who has a shofar at home and can't make it to shul and can blow shofar for herself is yotzei her mitzvah of shofar, even if it might be ideal for her to hear shofar in the congregation, etc. Meaning, again, this is a halachic discussion that merits its own attention. But let's just acknowledge that it doesn't have to be within what you know for it still to be within the realm of orthodoxy. All of our orthodox perspectives, horizons, are somewhat limited.
So what's interesting to me is that, like, it was just a woman blowing shofar in a home because it happened to be there. She picked it up, blew it, and the photographer caught it. And it was a gorgeous, I've never seen a shofar in my life like this. It must be like a Yemenite shofar. And it's like 18 feet long. The woman who blew it is like this tall, Sephardi woman. It was a beautiful picture. And I just thought it was lovely. Like, I didn't think for one second that anyone would take it like, oh, who does she think she is blowing shofar in a shul for men? Like, way, whoa. Like, it's just kind of like my world is so different, you know? So on the one hand, it is important. It's important that people feel, you know, comfortable or whatever. But at the same time, it's actually, like, outside of the photo bank for one second, it's shocking to me that a woman would say it's against halacha. I mean, like, I don't want to tell someone on LinkedIn that she doesn't know what she's talking about. Like, I don't want to hurt someone like that. But, like, what are they learning that they do not know that this is not against? Maybe you're not comfortable with it, maybe you don't practice it, but it is not against halacha for a woman to blow a shofar. Like,
so I think that this is one of the details that came up when we were talking about this after the uproar, and maybe uproar is too big, but, you know, the responses, the religious conservative world in the United States is fairly close, let's say, to certain aspects of modern Orthodoxy. And it's one of the things I think that Orthodoxy in general drew distinctions between what is Orthodox and what is conservative. And a lot of that falls down to the role of women, especially when the conservative movement started ordaining women, even before that, when they started counting women in a minyan, and when they let them lead certain things in tefillah, and then when they started ordaining them. So then the Orthodox world, if I can play sociologist for us just for a moment, needs to erect the barriers between Orthodoxy and conservative in a very hefty kind of way. So I feel like women doing things in a ritual way in America became very taboo, at least for those communities where it is taboo. And I think that that's where the halachic side of it, you know, it's not, are you sitting down and learning the sources to suss out what the halacha is, right? It's a matter of, we don't do this and we know it's prohibited, which isn't about the sources. Again, I think that's somewhat of a distinction between the American, I'm always a little reluctant to draw these lines too broadly, the differences between Israel and America. But I do think that the role that the conservative movement had in the Orthodox identity that happened in America did not ever happen in Israel. The Dati, the religious Zionist, the even the Haredi or Haredi Lumi congregations in Israel don't have a progressive movement of Judaism right at their heels.
So they say, and you know, when you're getting it both from the right and the left, you're in good shape, right? Like, and I am definitely getting it from the right and the left. So look, on the one hand, I feel like, guys, I'm just trying to do something good here. Like, you know, help me out. And on the other hand, like, if people have suggestions or whatever, I'm happy to listen as best as I can. As I said, we're having more photo shoots. I need more Hasidim. I need more teens, as you said. You know, there's a lot that we don't have yet, and we're building. I am pleased to say that Haaretz, the Jewish Chronicle, Vosses Nayas, and the Jewish Press, Ynet, you know, we've had a lot of press around this, and I'm hoping that the more it gets out there, the more we'll be able to bring in even more and more ideas and models and photographers. I hope, I really do hope. The truth of the matter is, it cost Chochmat Nashim a lot of money to put this together. Even though we had volunteers of photographers and models, there was a lot of cost in building the site, in the lawyers, in the editing and tagging. There's a lot of work back here.
What happened to the picture of the woman with the shofar? And I know the answer, right? I'm setting you up for that to answer well, but I think that it's an important discussion of what do we do with the fact that not every aspect of Orthodoxy is going to like every picture that we have that we say represents somebody in Orthodoxy, even though it might not represent you or you or you or you, right? What do we do with the fact that Orthodoxy is more diverse than any one smaller community?
So I think the fact is that this bank was put together to stop our erasure. And it focuses on those of us who have been and are being erased from the Orthodox world. You know, we have our board, and you know that I've consulted with the board, which does, in case anyone needs to know, two Orthodox rabbis on it, who also understand that people are people, and what maybe I would not do in my home necessarily, but is within the bounds of Orthodoxy, can be represented in this photo bank. And actually had a great idea. She said, you know what, why don't we just take it off the homepage? make that I'm not on the homepage, so it's not like we're saying this is what we say Orthodoxy is, but that it's there for people who do want to use it, who do want to represent themselves that way in the annals of the site and the bank of the site. So they're there. But you know what? This is something that we do grapple with. It's not an easy thing. We are grappling with it. We do grapple with it, and we're probably, God willing, going to continue to grapple with it for as long as the bank is up, and hopefully that will be a very long time when growing larger and larger.
I think also, and I will say this as somebody, again, who's somebody who looks for photos. Sometimes I want to find a photo of somebody who is fully covered up, you know, sleeves to the wrists, a long skirt, kisui rosh, where every hair is covered. And sometimes there's a need to show somebody who is Orthodox, Shomer Shabbat, Shomer Kashrut, lives a life that they themselves would identify as Orthodox. And they're wearing, I don't even know how to describe it, but a modern Israeli, I don't know, crown kind of headband kind of thing with the hair at the back, because that's what my article is talking about. So that's what I want to find, a person representing that.
The site isn't a judgment. We are not defining what you should do halachically or orthodoxy. Like, I have people who've said to me, I need pictures with women without their head covers. I need pictures with women in short sleeves. I need these things doing Jewish things because I'm a Kiruv organization, for example, and I want to bring people closer.
But I would say this comes to an important point. For all the people who are able to critique on social media, and I know that's what social media is there for, to raise your voices and yell, but it is perhaps more helpful to everybody concerned for the good of the community to ask the question, instead of berating the Jewish Life Photo Bank for having a woman blowing shofar, why not ask, why is there a woman blowing shofar? I thought that's not within what Orthodoxy does. And then perhaps we have an opportunity for a deeper discussion.
We'll have a podcast for you.
Right. But beyond that, I would say, recognize also that a photo bank is never going to be all the pictures that you, any one person, want. Most of what is there is going to be rejected when you're looking for your photo to illustrate your brochure or your article or whatever. You're going to take two, three photos, and the rest you're going to leave. So the question is, are the ones that you want there? And having perused the photo bank, I think that we're getting there. I think there are some gaps, as you say, but I think that it's an exciting opportunity to illustrate with wonderful images. The photographers are excellent. The models are great. The scenes are wonderful. All of it, I think. Really, as a consumer, I can say, I think that this is a wonderful resource whose time has come.
Thank you so much. It's been a labor of love. I hope you guys check it out. If you have pictures you'd like to submit and they fit the criteria that I listed before, you can submit them to info@chochmatanshim.org or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, C-H-O-C-H-M-A-T-N-A-S-H-I-M.
Can you hear us now?